And Lord willing, I told these guys I was going to get my opportunity to preach, teach the book of Romans. I'm going to give up something that I hate to give up. And I'm going to give them an opportunity. Brother Joe, if you want next couple weeks, do Romans 8. It's going to take you, it would take me 4 weeks to do Romans 8. And I hate to give it up. I love Romans 8. And it's a great chapter of the Bible. But I'm going to give this Brother Joe opportunity to do it for a month. I'm going to give Brother Ken opportunity to do chapter 9. And then, maybe I'll get back in there after that. But chapter 7 this morning. And chapter 7, you're dealing, Paul's dealing with trying to tell folks that you're dealing with the flesh and you're dealing with the law. And the law, it shows you that you're a sinner. And talk about the new man, old man. When I got saved, I didn't understand a lot of things going on in my life. After I got saved, I was sitting in a bar after I'd been saved for a while. I was on fire for a while, and then I ended up going back to a bar one night. And I was sitting in the bar, and I never had the Holy Ghost of God deal with me like I did that night. And, I was on fire at one point. I got saved. I was on fire for a little bit. And then I got bound up. I started out trying to witness to my friends. I went back and I started hanging with them a little bit, and I ended up in a bar that night and getting ready to fight this guy for some money. And I'm sitting in a pool room and sitting there, and this guy that I was running around with was betting money on the pool table, and I'm sitting there drinking, and I was about half drunk, and I didn't know he was talking about me and fighting this guy in the back behind the bar that night. And I never had the Holy Ghost of God deal with me like he did that night. And the Holy Spirit of God said, get out of here. I thought I was going nuts, man. I never had, you got a dual nature. And I never had that happen in my life. And I'm sitting in the bar, sitting on the stool, and the Holy Ghost God kept saying, get out of here now. Get out of here. And I never had that happen before. I never had nobody or anything telling me to leave or do something, you know. And when I got saved and you got saved, you got a dual nature. That's why you can never be happy. Went out in the world. And the only time I'm really, really happy is when I'm serving God. Amen. I mean real happiness when I'm serving Him. Any other time, the happiness is not there. It's there. There's joy of the Lord. But I'm talking about real, real happiness when you see somebody get saved, when you see people's lives change and all that. But I never forget, I was sitting in that bar that night and the Holy Ghost kept saying, get out of here now. This is wrong. Get out of here. And I'm looking around, and I remember looking around the room and watching people laugh and everything, and I thought, man, all I could see, like, devils, man. And it was like people were fakes, and they were putting on and acting. And finally, I walked outside, and everybody thought I was going outside to go out back. I walked out the door, and as I walked out the door, everybody was going right. I went left, and I started walking down the street. And somebody said, hey, man, out back. That's where we're going. And I stopped, and I said, I'm going home. I'm going home. And they said, what's the matter, man? I've got this money bet. You chicken? And I turned around, walked back up to myself. You know I ain't no chicken. And I said, but I got saved. And there's something going on inside me. I don't understand. It's something crazy. I don't know what's going on. And I remember walking home, and it started raining. And I slipped and fell into a ditch. And I laid in that ditch looking up to God, and the rain was hitting me in the face. And I remember going, God, I'm sorry. God, I'm sorry. Forgive me, Lord. And I got home. As I walked in the house, Linda was my wife then. She was my girlfriend. Some other girl had called and said I was running around with her. And you talk about a mess, man. My life was a mess. And I was running around like a mad dog. And Linda hits me upside the head with a hammer. I mean, right when I walked in the house, bam, it hit me. She was violent, very violent. And she hit me upside the head with a hammer, and I about strangled her. And I mean, I turned around and grabbed her by her throat, and you said, preacher, that's the way it was. And I didn't understand what was going on inside me. So when Paul's writing this, he's writing about that dual nature, man. And you got a dual nature, and it's against you. And you got three enemies. The Bible tells us in 1 John. And somebody find 1 John, I think it's chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Let's go to 1 John chapter 2. Let's go there. Let's look at it. You got three enemies. And the biggest enemy you have is you, your biggest enemy. People like to blame the devil for all their problems, and the devil probably has something to do with it because he's whispering in your ear. But the biggest problem is you. Your flesh. You want to do what you want to do. And look what the Bible says. It says, this is not the verse, but it's verse 15. It says, love not the world, neither things in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. All that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And it's not of the Father, but of the world. The world passed away and the lust thereof, and he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Now, I'm looking for a verse where it says you have the world, the flesh, and the devil. I'm trying to think of where it's at. But anyway, if somebody finds it, raise your hand. But go to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7 and verse 15. I think we stopped last time. He says, verse 14, it says, if we know that the law is spiritual and I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that I do not. And what I hate, that I do. And you say, that's Paul, you know, he hadn't got the victory yet in his life as a Christian. No, he's telling you, you've got a battle going on every day in your life. Every day you wake up and look in the mirror, and somebody, you don't even have to look in the mirror, you got a battle that's going to fight. You're going to fight. And that's why the Bible tells us to put on the whole armor of God. You say, how do you put on the whole armor of God? You get in your Bible first thing in the morning. Put on the whole armor of God and pray. Say, Lord, bless this day. I don't know what I'm facing today. You don't know if you're facing an accident. You don't know if you're facing something with the children. You don't know what you're going to face. So you better put on your whole armor, because if you don't, you know, the armor is to protect your mind. And the Bible says God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind. If you don't read your Bible and spend time with the Lord, then you're not putting on the whole armor of God. And it says the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. It says the shield of faith. And then it talks about the breastplate of righteousness. It keeps from getting to your heart, from something in the world getting to your heart, a dagger or a spear or some kind of darts, darts of the wicked, thrown at you. And every day you and I live, we're around that stuff. We're around people talking dirty. We're around, you know, radio programs, TV programs. You're around that stuff, and it's coming at you all the time. And your mind starts working. You try to get the stuff out of your mind. And I never forget, guys I worked with told dirty jokes, and I'd be up on the roof. I said, hey, man, stop. And that stuff rang through my head and kept running through my head. And, I mean, I tried to sing out loud and everything to get rid of it. And that's the only thing that really helped. I started singing out loud. And they would say, shut up, preacher. We don't want to hear you singing. I said, boy, I had to hear your junk, man. You're going to hear me. And so, but I fought that battle, and that battle, I didn't understand what was going on with me. And nobody really explained it to me. And that's why I believe Sunday school is important. I wasn't in Sunday school as often as I should have been. And they didn't explain to me about the new dual nature. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Now, before I was saved, that stuff was just natural to me. It became natural. But after I got saved, it became unnatural to me. And as a child of God, I had the new man inside me. I had the Holy Spirit of God inside me, convicted me. And the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit of God is making intercession for you and I on a daily basis and praying for us. And God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is interceding for us on the right hand of the Father. And we've got all the advantages to be able to overcome. We got all the advantages. And there's no reason why a Christian should not overcome sin in their life. There's no reason. Now, you're always going to fight sin. It's always going to be a battle, but you should get better at it, at fighting sin, not covering it up. The Bible talks about, you know, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. Not covering it up, saying, God, that's wrong. Judge it yourself so you won't be judged. If you'll judge sin in your own life, say, that's wrong. I've done that many times. I still do it. Lord, that's wrong. I shouldn't even think like that. Lord, God, help me. And we fight that battle. And what happens to most Christians that you see, we see people get saved, and they don't understand the battle, and they before we can get any Bible in them or try to get them, they're out. And we try to find them and trying to get them back in church so they'll grow and learn something about God and learn something about the battle that they're in and the fight that they're in. And what happens, some people, they just get tired of fighting it. But I'm going to tell you something. The stronger you get spiritually, to be able to overcome the old man. And then Paul talks about that. Now, anybody find that verse where it says the world, flesh, and the devil? We got the three enemies. All right, it says in verse 15, for that which I do, I allow not. For I would, that what I would, that I do not. But what I hate, I do that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent on the law that is good. And now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. So we all have sin in us. When Adam and Eve fell and got into sin, we all have that sin nature. And that sin nature is going to be there till we die. It's going to be there. I've told this story about an old woman called the preacher up. She was like 85, 90 years old. She was dying. And she said, "Preacher, I want to tell you something. Will you lean down and bring your ear down here? Let me tell you something." She said, "Pray for me. I have trouble in the flesh. I've been lusting." And he went, "Oh, my God. Oh, my." And, you know, and he thought, 85, 90-year-old woman lusting. And it's still there, man. That old nature's still there. He says in verse 16, "If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good." So the law is good. I mean, there's nothing wrong with the law. We try to say, well, the law is no good. No, the law was good, but it was man's sin that's bad. And look at Romans chapter 6. We use this, Romans 6:23. We use this for the lost world. We say the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. That wages of sin is death. That's us, man. That's us. The wages of sin is always going to be death. You want to know what you get paid for? Sin? Death. You know what happens to Christians? They end up sometimes cutting their own life off because of sin. And you're supposed to fight sin if God knows whether you're fighting sin or not. And you say, "Lord, help me. God, help me fight sin. Help me fight sin in my life." And we all got to do it. And I tell you this, it's easier to fight sin if you don't hang around where the sin is promoted. It's a lot easier. If you hang around where sin's promoted all the time, it's going to be, you'll yield to it. And then when Paul, a lot of commentators say, well, Paul really didn't have the victory here in Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 8 is when he got it. No, he had it. He's trying to show you that, man, you're going to fight this thing the day you die. Look in 1 Corinthians 15. Look at this. We read this chapter about the resurrection and all that. And says, but look what Paul says in verse 54 or 53. "For this corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. So then this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, that is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" The sting of death is what? Sin. "And the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, a Christian can live a victorious Christian life. But you're always going to have to learn how to fight sin. And when the Bible tells us to put on the whole armor of God, God's not kidding. He's not kidding. Then Paul writes this thing, and Paul's the one who wrote that in Ephesians chapter 6. He's not kidding. If you don't fight, you'll become a casualty. You become a casualty. I was watching the Vietnam thing last night on the war stories. Oh, my Lord, I cry over that. And then, you know, they were showing, during World War II even, they were showing that we shot shot 14 planes of our own men, paratroopers. We shot them down because the Germans attacked the naval vessels, and it was at night. There was a little communication, and the planes came across, and we shot down our own Navy, shot down 14 of our own planes, killed 60-some men during World War II. I thought 60-some people died for no reason. By friendly fire. And what happens in the Christian life, we see Christians getting shot at. We get and then you see Christians going out, living, and they end up dying because of sin, living the way they want to live. They think, well, ain't nobody going to tell me what to do. I'm going to live my life the way I want to live it. And they don't read their Bible. They don't pray. They don't go to church. They don't, and then all of a sudden, look what happens. Look at verse 16. He says, "If then I do that which I would not, I consent on the law that is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me," look what he's saying, that is in my flesh, "dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do." You say, well, then Paul's giving me liberty to go ahead and do what I want. No, he's not giving you liberty there. He's saying, man, there's a battle that you ought to be fighting. There's a battle in your flesh. And you trust in the flesh, you're going to die. The wages of sin is death. If you trust in the flesh, then you think about this. The devil knows whether The Bible talks about the judgment seat of Christ. The devil knows about the judgment seat of Christ. And he doesn't want you to have any victory in your life. And when you got saved, your soul gets separated from your flesh. So you can't corrupt your soul. So you got an operation that took place. So your soul can't be corrupted. But you're going to be judged here and there for what you've done in this. You'll be judged here and there. And that's going to be at the judgment seat of Christ. Jesus Christ already paid for our soul. That's already been paid for. He cut our soul loose from our flesh. And that's already been taken care of. But what you do since you've been saved, and especially when God's given you all the tools, he's given you all the tools how to fight. He's given you all the things that you need to be able to overcome this world. Look at 1 John. Look what the Bible says in 1 John. 1 John, look at verse... chapter 3. Oh, I'm looking for that. Chapter 4. It says, hereby know ye the Spirit of God, verse 2, every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it has been, should come, even now already is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And it goes on down. They are of the world, therefore they speak of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God, he that knoweth God heareth us. And he that is not of God heareth us not. Hereby know ye the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifest that the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. Look on down verse 17. He says, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because that as he is, so are we in this world. As he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. You say, is that a contradiction? Because the Bible says over in Proverbs, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning. That's true. But it says perfect love is cast out fear. You say, what is that talking about? Is when your children, when you come home, daddy comes home, and the children have been good all day, they don't have to worry about daddy coming home. But they know when they do wrong, they have to worry about it. And when daddy, when they're doing what's right, I'll never forget my mother, my mother couldn't control us. And we were so bad, my mother would try to beat us and everything, and my father would come home, and he'd be aggravated, but he'd come home at 10 o'clock at night. We'd already be in bed, my mother would tell him. And you're talking about a shock. My father would come in and rip the covers off of us and he whipped us with a water hose. And he'd have this water hose and he'd whip us with that thing. And I had whelps on my face, on my back. If you wiggled and squirmed and all that stuff, you got it wherever he hit, wherever it landed. And because we wouldn't come in, my mother would tell it would be dark outside and she said, y'all come on in the house. And we said, well, we'll come in a minute. And we wouldn't come in and we didn't come in till late. And we wouldn't listen. And then my father come home and he brought judgment. And boy, you talking about real judgment. And we knew it was going to come. And we were just stupid enough to keep on going. Look at 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. And you know what? And there's Christians that know God's going to judge them. They know they can't get away with it. Especially once you got saved, you're in a different realm, man. You're in accountability now. You're accountable to God. Chapter 5, 1 John 5, it says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begot loveth him also that is begotten of him. For this we know, that we love the children of God, and when we love God and keep his commandments. And this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not what? Grievous. But whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Your faith has got to grow. If your faith, and the faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, and the devil knows how you're going to grow, how you're going to get stronger, so he tries everything he can in opposition to keep you from growing and your faith getting stronger. Every way possible. And it's a fight. It's a fight you got to fight through. And look at this. Look back at Romans chapter 7. It says, for I know, verse 18, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh. You know, Lester Roloff used to say this. He said he wouldn't trust himself in broad daylight. It said Lester Roloff would say that. Lester Roloff said he didn't trust himself. And you're better off not trusting yourself. My children would say, well, I'm 18. Don't you trust me? I'd say, nope. No. I said, you can build trust. There's no problem there. But you better not trust the flesh. Better not trust it. We better not trust the flesh. If you trust the flesh, you trust yourself. You said, well, I can be around women and, you know, be in the bars and around the topless go-go stuff, and don't affect me a bit. Don't bother me a bit. You crazy. You're a lying thing. And same thing with women with the men. I mean, the same thing. You can't trust yourself. You can't trust yourself. After I got saved, I built trust. I worked for a company that here I was a con man, before I was saved and in prison, all kinds of stuff. And the guy I worked for, a $1 million company, he would give me checks, and he signed a check and said, Alan, put that in your wallet. He said, don't lose it. Now, if you see anything we need, buy it. He's up to $30,000. And I'd walk around, I had a check in my pocket, go buy the trucks and stuff like that. If I seen something, I call him, I always called him. And he says, well, you ain't got to call me, Alan. I trust you. I thought, man, it was a day. There was a day. And there, God put me in charge of a church. Amen. Thief and a robber. I stole transmissions out of people's cars in their driveway. And God put me in charge of a church. Money. You're talking about the mercy of God.
Like there was a change in you or something.
Yeah. There was a change. And see, God does that kind of stuff. And God can change. You said, well, God can. I used to sit in the church and hear that. I thought, I could never do that. God would never let me do that. And I was scared to death. Because I didn't trust me. I didn't trust me. I said, my Lord, I don't want to. Here comes Hopalong. Just had a knee operation. I want to be in church today. Praise the Lord. Pray don't hurt himself. He says, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil that which I would not, that I do. That's somebody saying, hey, I know me. I know my flesh. And Paul wrote 13 books of the New Testament. He gave you the ammo to be able to fight the flesh. He gave it to us. I mean, it's right there. Now he says, verse 20, now if I do that what I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find in a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. He's saying, I delight in that law after the inward man, because the outward man, you can't trust him. The inward man wants to do right. The inward man wants to live for God. The inward man wants to please God. And that's when, look at verse 23. That's when the Bible, you see most Christians this day and time say, why does Paul put that in Ephesians about fighting the good fight of faith? Why does he put that in there, putting on the whole armor of God? Why does he do all that? Because Paul knew something about what was going to face, a Christian's going to face when it comes to warring against the flesh. The devil usually is not the one causing us the trouble. It's usually the flesh. I find people will not pray about things. They'll make decisions without consulting God. And they'll do things and they'll hurt themselves and they say, why did you do all this, God? Why did you do this to me? God said, I didn't do it to you. You did it to yourself. I find, look at verse 21, I find in the law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. For I see another law in my members. What's the members? It's your hands, your feet, your eyes, your ears. The Bible says the eyes are never satisfied with seeing. Ears are never satisfied with hearing. The hands, the flesh, are never satisfied with touching. I watched my grandson yesterday. I call him Chubbs. Termite. I mean, Chubbs is what's his real name? Jackson. Oh, yeah. I got nicknames for him. I don't even know the real names anymore. And Becky's trying to teach him. Justin and I were sitting there. We had to turn our face. We were laughing. He's starting to learn how to walk. And he got over by the door, and he's standing there, and he's looking out. And then all of a sudden, he reaches over and grabs a cord. And Becky goes, "Do not, no." And he looks around at her. And he goes back and grabs it again. So she goes over and smacks his hand. Man, he let out a scream. He's screaming. He's going, ah, slobber coming out of his face and everything. And I thought, that's the Christians. And he's putting one hand, ah, and he looks around. Ah. Justin and I had to turn our face away. We were laughing so hard. And he put it, looked at us and looked at Becky, and I had my face covered. And he went like this. He went just like this. He went, touched it again. She ran over there, smacked his hand again. Ah! He said, ah! He looked around, slobber running out of his mouth. And then he went to grab it. I mean, she must have smacked him two or three times. And finally, about the third or fourth time, he thought about it. He went, then Becky went over and said, now I told you, don't do that. Amen. And that's training. God does the same thing. He does the same thing to us. Yes.
Is it
John 2:15? We just read that. It's the world, flesh, and the devil. Yeah, but we always say that. I'm thinking it was a verse, but we always say the world, flesh, and the devil. Now look at verse 23 of Romans chapter 7. For I see another law in my members. Look what it says. Warring. And when if you don't grow in the Bible, you don't learn the Word of God, you don't understand what you're going through. You got a dual nature. You think you're bipolar. I looked at some people looking up at me. But you go, man, I'm bipolar or something. I'm going crazy. Maybe I ought to take a pill. Take the gospel pill. Amen. But you got that dual nature, man. It's fighting against you. And if you don't read this book, you're going to get weaker, 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 weaker. And you're just going to go right back to the natural and go right back to the same old stuff. And then you'll say, what's the use of going to church? What's the use of reading my Bible? What's the use? Because I can't do it. And the devil will say, ha-ha, got him. Got him. The Lord gives you the equipment. He gives you everything you need. And he's there, and the Bible talks about a great cloud of witnesses surpassing us. They're saying, come on, you can do it. If it was going to be, I mean, you would think, well, you know, the holiness teach this, the real holiness, they teach that. Once you got saved, it eradicates your flesh, everything, you don't sin no more. So, I mean, your soul can't sin. But your flesh still. But they teach that everything I do now is not sin, no matter what I do. So then you don't have to confess anything. If you don't confess anything, I'm telling you, you're getting dirtier and dirtier and dirtier all the time. I'll never forget, I was down street preaching one time down in South Carolina. I got to hurry. I was down street preaching. I was down there in Greenville, South Carolina with street preaching. And one night I was down there about 11 o'clock at night, and a whole gang came up. I mean, a gang of guys, they're going to beat our heads in. It was me and another guy. And they were going to beat our heads in. And as soon as I noticed it, I mean, I knew what was going to happen. And I went over to the guy that was running his mouth. I went over, I leaned over and I said, when this thing gets going, I said, I'm going to take your head off first, buddy. I said, you're going to be the first one. I'm going to beat your brains in. And he goes, I said, I know what you're here for. because they wouldn't listen to anything we had to say. They wouldn't. Anytime I tried to give them a track, they'd take it, throw it down, you know. And I told the guy, I said, I'm going to beat your brains in for it. He goes, you call my mother a whore. Call my sister a whore. I said, we didn't call your mother a whore. We didn't call your sister a whore. He goes, they got off, they're walking through here the other night, last Saturday night, and y'all call her whores because their skirts weren't up. Their skirts were not where you thought they ought to be. I said, that wasn't us. I said, that was that holiness church comes down here. I said, that was them. The holiness church, they preached that if you didn't have a dress all the way down to your ankle, then you're a whore. So right when I'm talking to the guys, it's like eight guys, and me and another guy. And I said, and the bus, the holiness church pulled in. And they pulled in. I said, there they are right there. I said, go get them. I said, they're the ones. He goes, that's the ones. I said, that's them right there. Yeah. But when all of them got off the bus, it was a whole busload. They didn't fool with them. They went up and had a conflict, but they didn't fool with them. Look at verse 23. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am. Folks, you'll never outgrow this old man. You can get stronger spiritually and put the old man down, but the old man's always going to rear his head up. The old man's going to want to lose his temper and start using choice words. The old man wants to get mad and get bitter. The old man wants to do all that stuff. I never forget one time I had an incident, and the old man came out of me, and I got mad, and the old man came out of me, and the old man was going, this feels good. And man, I had to repent. The old man wanted to get loose. The old man inside you, he wants to get loose. And you got to keep him down. If you don't keep him down, that old man will ruin your life. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? There's only one person that can.
Yeah.
Only one person can deliver you. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Now, look at chapter 8. I'm not going to try to steal anything from chapter 8, but look at first verse. All the new Bibles try to take the latter part out of chapter 8, verse 1. And there was a holiness church that the girl came to Bible school, and she showed us where her pastor was an idiot, that told her to take her pen and scrape out the latter part of verse 8:1, chapter 8:1. And she did, because they didn't believe that you sin after you're saved. Now, your soul can't sin, but your flesh, you have to have a daily confession, daily. A daily cleanse is like taking a shower every day. How many of y'all take a shower every day? I do, whether you need it or not. And when you get saved, I take a shower more than once a day. I'm spiritually speaking. Why? Because of my mind. Oh, God cleanse me of that. God forgive me. I don't want, that's wrong. I thought wrong. Somebody will say something to me or some thought come to my mind, and I'll be working, and I'll say, God, get that out of here. Get that out of here. Because you got spirits working. I told you before that you got 10,000 thoughts that run through your mind every day. 10,000 thoughts. I feel sorry for truck drivers. I mean, I drove a truck, because all you do is drive, and you're thinking. And that's why you got to put stuff in the radio, some preaching or some good singing. If you put country music, you put that rock and roll, you put all that stuff, all that does is make your flesh feel good and makes your flesh want more. Want more of the same old, the rottenness that, you know. You know, you think about this. When God talks about the flesh, he doesn't say good things about it. You know what's going to get our flesh? Worms.
Yep.
Matter of fact, we got worms inside of us. That's what's going to get us.
Yep.
If the Lord doesn't come back. And then the Bible says when the Lord does come back, he's going to change our vile body. This body is vile. This body wants what... You say, well, we can clean it up. We can take a shower, clean it up and all that stuff, and look good, suits on. and come in here, and if you haven't confessed and said, God, cleanse me, and this morning, and reading your Bible, praying, and you say, Lord, clean, I want to be clean, then that body is vile. And it's going to be vile no matter what. And you've got to feed that new man. Look what verse 8:1 says. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Well, hallelujah. No condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Praise God. I ain't got to worry about being condemned with the world or condemned. But look at the next part of it. It says, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. You're going to be condemned if you walk after your flesh. Every time I've walked out after my flesh, there's something happens. But if you walk after the Spirit, boy, I tell you what, that's life. That's life and peace and joy. And the Bible tells us the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, peace, joy, goodness, temperance. All those things. Nine fruits of the Spirit. It says if you walk after the Spirit. And you'll have love for people. You'll have the right motive. And, you know, when you're talking to people, you have the right motive. You won't be trying to get something out of them. Always trying to figure out a way to get around something. Always, you know, I've seen Christians always trying to figure out a way to get around something in their life or get around on over top of somebody or trying to get over on people. You know what? That's a con man. The old man is a con man. I was a con man before I was saved, so are you. That old con man will always try to figure out a way. But if you go to God, say, Lord, I've even prayed this. Lord, don't let me have my way. That's a good thing to pray. Lord, don't let me have my way. Because if my way will be ruin, your way will be right. You say, do you pray about everything? Not like I should. Not like I should. But we should pray. Amen. All right. Get in chapter 8 next time. Any questions on anything?